The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
It's Super Bowl week here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sedman. We're taking your phone calls throughout the hour here on the show at 312-644-6767. Jim is down there in Houston, so we'll get his Super Bowl preview coming up. We'll get your take as well, Tom, and we'll get your take on the phone lines. But this is a Bear-centric show. So all I know is that from the beginning of the offseason, really until this week, and it's going to continue to go on, everyone's keeping to discuss the quarterback situation and what's going to happen. Is Jay Cutler coming back? If he doesn't, are the Bears going to draft a quarterback? Who's going to be the bridge guy, even if they do that, draft that quarterback? There are all these questions about the QB position, but those are not the only needs that the Bears have. It's more than just finding a quarterback as you head into the 2017 season. Tom, to me, one of the biggest questions this offseason is, what are they going to do with Alshon Jeffrey? Because can you afford to tag him again? And I don't know if that's the case.
Well, you know, I think that's an interesting part of the beginning of the offseason, because the question about the quarterback position and Jay Cutler is not necessarily a financial decision. But the question mark about Alshon Jeffrey is definitely a financial decision. $14,599,000 was his salary this year. Are you willing to re-franchise tag him and pay him more than $1 million a game? And then you have to look at the list of free agents out there to see what one of these guys, what if any of these guys, are enticing to you. Is there a guy out there as far-fetched, okay, as far-fetched as a guy like Michael Floyd? You talk about he makes $2,492,000. Could he even pique your interest? But he's got a lot of trouble following him. But he's been a healthy body on the field. The question marks about Alshon is his inability to stay healthy in the last couple of years to be a 16-game contributor. And I do think one of the most important questions outside of quarterback is the receiver position. You have Cameron Meredith, who's a big-time developing football player. You have Josh Bellamy, who's a two-tier player, special teams, and a receiver. You have guys like Deontay Thompson, who's showed flashes of his use of speed but needs more experience. So, you know, the question mark is do the fans out there want to see Alshon Jeffrey come back, or do they want to see growth of potential of the receiver position?
Jim, do the Bears need Alshon Jeffrey to be successful going forward?
Hey, let's face it, they struggled to score points this year. I know part of it is the quarterback, but part of it is Alshon Jeffrey wasn't on the field again for some of it. So obviously the suspension hurt. He only had one game over 100 yards, and I would say, yeah, you're not getting the return on the investment would be my take on it. So why are you going to dump if you franchise him again, you'd be over $17 million at that position alone for wide receiver. I think you can get guys out there much cheaper, whether it's a guy like Jackson from the Washington Redskins or Pierre Garçon, who's going to be a free agent as well. And, that's just how I think the Bears are thinking about it. They haven't won a lot of games with him. Let's just put it that way. So why do you want to invest that money when you can probably either draft or sign another free agent?
Jim, you're a quarterback and you're in the red zone. What's the most important weapon in the red zone for you as a quarterback? Is it great play out of the backfield, or is it a weapon within that tight windows that you have to throw to?
Yeah, well, I think it has become a jump ball game when you look at more the fade stops and all those type of things, and the quick no-look passes where you pump it out to your receiver and he's able to muscle it into the end zone. But I just don't think that that's what the Bears want to be as a football team. I think they want to be a run play-action team with a guy like Jordan Howard. And granted, they're still going to throw up some jump balls, and they need to get those type of receivers. I just don't know if they're willing to do it at $17 million under a franchise tag.
Have you seen enough out of Cameron Meredith to believe that he can help you along the way? Or do you need to see another season of productivity out of him?
Well, I think we've seen young receivers burst onto the scene and really steal the show. You know, here I'm looking back at a week ago when I was at the Reese's Senior Bowl, and I see Zay Jones from East Carolina, or a guy that I'm going to tell you right now, Josh Reynolds out of Texas A&M. He's 6'4", 195. That guy will climb the ladder better than any Bears receiver has on their roster right now. Right now, that guy's better than those guys. That's just my take on it, and you can get them a lot cheaper than $17 million.
And it is a deep draft at the wide receiver position, which is something to also consider. And I think when you look at all the needs that the Bears have, and this is really the problem that they ran into, and it's not Kevin White's fault, it's not the Bears' fault, the guy just happened to get hurt, but this would be the point in time where he would have been entering his third year in the NFL. And that's generally when you begin to shine after kind of learning the tricks of the trade at that position, and it would have been the seamless transition. But in Alshon Jeffrey, would you not be letting go of a guy who's 26 years old and provides a cushion for the quarterback? I mean, that was part of the issue as well. I think part of the problem that the Bears have had is the fact that they've had to rotate through so many different quarterbacks during the Alshon Jeffrey era.
You talking to me? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I don't disagree with that. The quarterback issue is the problem. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I think typically here's the scenario. If you've got a veteran quarterback, you can go with young receivers. If you've got a young quarterback, you're going to go with the veteran receivers. So it's really up to the Chicago Bears. If they go out and sign it, if they keep Jay Cutler, then they can go young. If they bring in a veteran who's played a little bit, they can still go young at receiver. But let's say they draft a guy and elect to play him, then maybe you got to think about, hey, we need to have Alshon around. We're going to want a veteran receiving core with a young quarterback to bring him along. So those scenarios exist, and I think they're all on the table for the Chicago Bears.
Do you think that the guys like Cameron Meredith, Bellamy Thompson, do they have enough experience to introduce a young receiver to the NFL?
I think Meredith is come along, and I think Thompson is going to be a fine player. I think Bellamy is going to stick to the special teams aspect of it. He's just not consistent enough unless he makes really great strides from what he did a year ago. I like the attributes of the other players. I think Meredith is going to be a pretty good one when it's all said and done. Thompson needs a little bit more work, and for him it's really just about playing time. But I like the nucleus of that group.
Now, something to consider, and I don't know why this is, but anyone who's watched the Super Bowl this millennium, outside of Marvin Harrison and maybe Hines Ward, if you consider Hines Ward to be an elite-level receiver, the great ones don't win championships. Calvin Johnson, zero rings. Randy Moss, zero rings. Terrell Owens, zero rings. Larry Fitzgerald, zero rings. Now, maybe Julio Jones ends up winning one, and he's in that group. But for whatever reason, these great receivers that people pay a lot of money to have on their teams, that everyone drafts on their fantasy league, those are not the guys that win championships. Why is that?
Well, what was the complimentary guy at Indianapolis? His name is
Reggie Wayne.
I think it is about more than one player to be able to, you know, count on your receiver position. You got the quarterback like Peyton Manning, but you have to have more than one receiver on your football team. You know, the only guy that comes to mind immediately that could help a football team offensively go to the Super Bowl would be a guy like Mike Evans down in Tampa Bay. If he and Jameis Winston are able to grow together, it seems like he's a big-time enough player that can make some big catches throughout the course of a season that he could help your offense develop into a Super Bowl offense. But you know, it is about having that matchup of a quality quarterback with a quality receiver.
And that, I think, is something that you have to consider when you look at the analytics of everything. You need to have more than just that one great one. You need to have maybe a bunch of good ones as opposed. Look at New England, man. And I know you can say that those guys are playing with the best ever quarterback in the history of the game in Tom Brady. But when he had Randy Moss, who may be the best receiver that's ever played in the game outside of Jerry Rice, they didn't win a championship.
But, you know, then you have to think of Gronk and Hernandez, and then you got to, you know, get rid of Hernandez and then bring in, you know, they brought in Martellus. So, I mean, it certainly helped them this year, even though Gronk is injured.
Do you want to see Alshon Jeffrey back? 312-644-6767 is the phone number. And there's another position on the other side of the ball that is crucial to the Bears' success next year. We'll discuss next with Thayer and Miller. I'm Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Travel to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic with Apple Vacations and your favorite Bears players this spring. Visit applevacations.com/bears for trip details. Zach Zabeman along with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Nathan Vasher, the Interceptor, is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to talk some cornerback football because, you know what, that's another big area that the Bears have a need to fix. You know, is Kyle Fuller the guy that, now that he's healthy, you want next year, or are they going to go in a different direction? We spent most of the first segment talking about Alshon Jeffrey and the conundrum that Ryan Pace and John Fox are in, because in Jeffrey you have, I don't think anyone will argue that Alshon is one of the more talented receivers in the National Football League. He's 26 years old. There's a lot of football left in the guy, but I don't necessarily believe you can franchise him, and I'm not necessarily sure that you can agree on a long-term deal. And if you can't, what do you do? That is the big issue facing the Bears this offseason. What do you guys think? 312-644-6767. Southside Terrence, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Terrence.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
I was just calling to say I think we should extend Alshon Jeffrey because we don't have – I mean, Cameron Meredith is a good guy, but I don't feel like he's a big-time receiver like Alshon. And Kevin White hasn't proven that he's going to be, you know, a good number two and number one in the league, so I think we can't afford to lose Alshon right now.
All right, would you extend his contract? I mean, franchising him for 1 year is different than giving him an extended contract. Is that what you're looking for, is the extended contract?
Yes, I'm looking for an extended contract.
See? Because you see the talent in Alshon. You understand that he has the ability to make the offense better. But I think one of the things that a guy like Ryan Pace or John Fox or Dow Loggins and these guys, when they have a conversation man-to-man, eye-to-eye, not over the phone, not texting, I think that's when you get an indication if the guy wants to be here as a committed teammate and put the effort into the offseason to make sure you're ready for 16 games.
And that's a good point, Tom. And I don't know if we can necessarily say that about Alshon Jeffrey either. You know, is he committed to the Bears? Is he over there for all the OTAs and everything that's been requested of him, and what John Fox has come in and tried to lay the groundwork and the foundation to get guys to buy in? I don't know if that's necessarily the case either. I think he's a talented, talented receiver. And I would think that they'll let him go out, test the free agent waters, see what offers he gets, because all those other teams are going to have to think about those questions too. Is he going to line up every game? What if he gets suspended again? You know, there's a lot of what ifs. It's not just the Bears. They'd be competing against the 31 other teams that would be asking those same questions as well. And in my mind, that's going to drive the price down.
Now, to be fair, Alshon Jeffrey did attend all the offseason workouts in John Fox's first season. And that's when he was entering the final year of his contract. Last year was different because he was in that stage after he got franchised, and he's not the only one. We see a lot of players who are not happy getting the franchise tag that skip out on the offseason stuff. But you see it happen in the league.
Yeah, I don't get that for a player. Like, when they get franchise tag, they think it's the kiss of death. I would want to go in there on a good faith basis and say, yeah, I'm going to prove to you that I'm going to earn a long-term contract. And go in there, establish yourself, be the leader, because you know the team wants to retain you. That's why they placed it on you. And it's your opportunity to then work on that long-term contract and get potentially the number you want. And I understand, hey, they're worried about getting injured and all those things, but once you sign that thing, you're protected. Get in there, get the work done, and rather than hold out and be away from your team, how is that getting you better? It's not. And that's why Alshon had a bad year last year, would be my take.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Matt in Arlington Heights, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Matt. Matt, you there?
Hello.
Oh, he was there.
He was there.
Call back, Matt.
I mean, you got to operate on Central Time here. That's where we're broadcasting from. 312-644-6767 is the phone number to talk some football with us here on Bears All Access. Now, Jim, I would disagree with Jim a little bit. I don't believe that Alshon Jeffrey had a bad year last year. He did a stupid thing which got him a 4-game suspension. He was durable last year, which is something you can't always say for him throughout the course of his career. And I would submit that he's a quarterback who made Jay Cutler better, but the other quarterbacks didn't have the ability, or maybe Alshon didn't have the ability to adjust to what they do well, and they didn't have the ability to take advantage of what he does well.
Well, from Hoyer's standpoint, he wasn't on the field with Hoyer, so we don't know how, you know, that would have worked out and the impact that he would have had. I do think Barkley and him started to get a rapport, and you knew that Jay always had a rapport with Alshon, and he would go to his playmaker. You know, but you look at other receivers. How about DeAndre Hopkins? Remember him, not this past year, but the year prior. Four quarterbacks, and that dude was outstanding. He had 1,400 yards. How can that guy can adjust? Didn't matter who was lining up. They went to four different guys they used at the quarterback position. It didn't slow him down one bit whatsoever. Granted, a lot of plays were geared towards him, but I would think if you're a difference maker, that's what you're going to do in your game plans. You're going to gear the game plans to go to your playmaker. That guy beats single coverage, double coverage, any type of coverage down there for the Houston Texans. And, you know, I'm just throwing it out there as, you know, an example of comparing somewhat apples to apples in terms of receivers and guys that have dominated no matter who lines up behind center.
Yeah, and that's a terrific point that you make. The other one that I really like is if you're going to have to franchise Alshon Jeffrey, that's about $17 million, right, Jim? So
right.
I would rather take that money and spread it out and get two receivers who might not be at Alshon's level, but you add two receivers to the mix who might make your entire group better than what you had a year ago.
Yeah, and I agree with that because the Bears have more, you know, depending on how heavy they dive in free agency. And historically, we'll just go by the first 2 years of Ryan Pace. Obviously, what he did with the Baltimore Ravens and signing McPhee, and then last year with the linebackers, made an impact in signing Trevathan and obviously Jarrell Freeman as well. So he can dabble in it at the receiver position is all my take is. And I'm with you. I think they need so much talent, not only in their secondary, but I think the receiver position has to be upgraded as well, and you could probably get that those bargain prices that you're talking about. Guys with experience that can come in and make plays and are very productive players in the NFL, and there will be some quality free agents at the receiver position out there.
All right, let's go to the phones. 312-644-6767. Sean on the south side, you are on Bears All Access.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Sean.
All right. I just wanted to piggyback on the elite wide receivers, and I'm in total agreement. In today's game, you don't need that elite wide receiver to win Super Bowls. And I want to go as far as to say maybe within the last 15 years, other than Jerome Bettis, Marshall Faulk, and maybe Marshawn Lynch, you don't even need a Hall of Fame elite running back either. What you need to do and what the Bears need to do, I will let Alshon walk. You build that defense continuously, and you find your quarterback because that's the common denominator in all Super Bowl champs for the most part. I don't think you need to re-sign Alshon. I love him, but if you got a strong defense, you got that quarterback that can make wide receivers like Tom Brady, you know, and I think you can go from there. You don't need elite wide receivers and elite running backs.
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point. Look at the two teams in the Super Bowl. What did the Patriots do? They went out and signed Chris Hogan to a four-year, $12 million deal. Guys, he had the same amount of yardage as Julio Jones in the AFC Championship
game. And this is a guy who played lacrosse at Penn State, had 1 year of college football at Monmouth before kind of bouncing around the NFL, ended up on the Patriots, and yes, they made him into a great player because he was playing with
Sanu?
A great quarterback.
Yeah, how about Sanu for the Falcons? That guy led the team in third down conversions, and he's, you know, a middle-of-the-pack receiver that they signed for a modest price. And whenever Julio, think about it, missed two games and then was, you know, in and out in other, you know, four other games. Still a dominant receiver. There's no doubt Julio Jones is great, but they picked up Taylor Gabriel from the scrap heap of the Cleveland Browns and then Sanu to a modest price, and they're in the Super Bowl. Those are bargain basement. We're getting huge returns on investment.
One thing Sean forgot to mention, you got to look for the offensive line. Because if you don't have an offensive line, it doesn't matter who you have at receiver, quarterback.
And you agreed the Bears have it, right, Tom?
Yeah.
I like the offensive line of the Bears.
I agree.
I think where you spend your money, if you're trying to construct a team, at least the way the Bears are built right now, at quarterback, and to me, an elite pass rusher impacts the game just as much as a great quarterback does. and you need to fix that secondary. That is huge. That's why I don't know that you can take $17 million and put it into Alshon Jeffrey in 2017. What do you guys think? 312-644-6767. Your phone calls next. And we'll visit with Nathan Vasher, the Interceptor, in just a little bit here on the show with Thayer Miller. I'm Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Get round-the-clock news, video, and updates straight from your favorite team. Download the Chicago Bears official app and follow the Bears on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat for the latest content all year round. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you. Nathan Vasher will join us in a little bit. We're talking to you right now, 312-644-6767. We've gotten into a really good discussion about what the Bears should do with Alshon Jeffrey. He was a free agent. Do you tag him? Once again, $17 million. It's a lot of money going to one position when the Bears have a lot of needs and a whole bunch of different positions. Joe in Glencoe, you are on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber.
Hey, Joe.
Yes. Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's really, it's an honor to talk to all of you, especially you, Tom. Appreciate what you've done for the Bears and Chicago over your career.
Thanks, Big Joe. What do you think about Alshon?
You know, the last few years we've gotten rid of Brandon Marshall, Martellus Bennett, and Matt Forte without really having an identified replacement. And given what Zach has said, given our other holes that we need to fill, yeah, it would be nice to think that the money we save not paying Alshon, we could use to help fill those holes. But I think the reality is, given, you know, we're unsure at quarterback, you know, we need to start having players slotted and playmakers. In the Bears offense, one thing we can say is they don't have too many playmakers. I'd really hate to see him go without having a bona fide replacement in the wings. I think we need an offensive left tackle and a legitimate tight end. And like I said, the emergence of Jordan Howard has helped us at running back. But without Alshon, we don't have a legitimate playmaking receiver. And I think that's a great point.
Yeah. But the other thing you have to consider is with Alshon, and Jim mentioned this earlier, nine wins over the last two years?
Right, but it's interesting when we sit here and we talk about Alshon the player, the financial part of it is not the consideration. It's the abilities that Alshon has demonstrated throughout his career, that he can make big catches and he can be a weapon downfield. So it's interesting how we kind of lose sight of the $17-plus million that they will have to pay him if they transition him, if they don't get a long-term deal done. So, you know, that's the interesting part about it.
Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, and Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Join now on the phone lines with a guy who never had the issue that the Bears have had the last couple of years. Bears have had major issues taking the ball away. This guy was named the Interceptor. Nathan Vasher joins us now on Bears All Access. What's going on, Nate? How have you been?
Pretty good. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on, man.
Vash, thanks for coming on. You know, we're talking about the Alshon issue, and I guess we even need to talk about the cornerback issue in the NFL and with the Chicago Bears specifically. Has the cornerback position changed since you were in the NFL, or is it still the same position, you just face different offenses?
I would have to say it's the same, but you have to play within these different parameters now. I mean, I know a lot of guys talk about different eras when they played. You can do this, you can do that. But now it's definitely a different beast as far as how physical you can be, you know, at the line of scrimmage. And pass interference calls are deadly for a defense. So I think it's a little bit different now, even when you talk about the scope of offensive players and how big they are. And, you know, you got 6'3", 6'4", wide receivers that can fly, you know, so you have to be able to match up with these guys. So you're seeing taller, lengthier, more cornerbacks being able to be out there on the island right now. So it's practices are so important. You got to work these techniques. You got to get the stuff down and beat. But it's definitely a different game.
And Nathan, Jim Miller here, and good to talk to you, my friend. And I go back to this, too. I think you got to have a willing blocker out there, because the way the Bears are structured with Jordan Howard, and even in the spread-out game, you've seen so many wide receiver screens now that the inside slot receiver has to be a willing blocker, whether it's on the corner or the safety that comes up there, in order to spring these guys loose on the outside.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that's one thing that, you see with the exceptional wide receivers, they're doing it all. You know, they have a big physical presence out there on the outsides, and that's how they're able to screen those big runs because guys on the edges are making those blocks.
You know, Vash, when you look at a guy like Alshon Jeffery, 6'4 plus, or you look at Antonio Brown from the Pittsburgh Steelers, a smaller wide receiver, did you have a preference of what you'd like to go against? Because even when you're trying to investigate the free agent talent that's out there, both at cornerbacks and at wide receivers, where do where is the weapon? Is it in specifically the route running, or is there always size that's a little intimidating when you see it at the line of scrimmage?
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily the size. I mean, that's always one thing that you're going to have to handle. But I have to say that it's situational football now. You know, it's down and distance. It's the Antonio Brown guy that can take the top off of a defense, and that stresses you one way. You got guys on the inside that can work, for first downs and get catches, a la, Wes Welker. And it makes it really difficult for you to match up with that. So even with the way that the offenses are going so spread, you have to have a few guys. You got to have four or five corners that are going to play a whole lot.
Visiting with Bears cornerback Nathan Vasher here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm sorry, Nathan. If you can give us maybe a list or just one receiver that you said, doggone it, every time you faced him, this guy gave you fits. I mean, that was an all-around player, the great route runner, the great blocker, could get you on the go routes, those type of things where you said, hey, all-around game, this guy was the toughest matchup for me.
Wow, there's been a few guys, in my time, and I've still had an opportunity to watch, Steve Smith, the things that he did in Carolina, even Baltimore, being able to make those big plays, jump over guys, do all the dirty work in the run game also, and just play with that kind of tenacity. So he's one of those guys I've always respected, but you're going to have a long day playing against that guy.
Hey, Nate, are you surprised within our division that Matthew Stafford had the success this year he did without a Calvin Johnson? Because you talk about an intimidator at the line of scrimmage. Man, that guy, it seems like he had it all, but then he's gone from Matthew Stafford, and Stafford still has what some was considering an MVP season.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Matthew is a talented quarterback, and you see him going out and putting up all the big numbers. But, football is the ultimate team sport. And even when you got one of the greatest weapons out there in one of the times that we played in Calvin Johnson. And sometimes that's still never enough, So he's one of those guys that will continue to keep trying to get that team over the hump. But they definitely had a much improved season this year.
Our final few moments here with former Bears cornerback Nathan Vasher here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Nate, the Bears have had major issues taking the ball away, and we saw a lot of instances this past season where the ball hit the defensive back in the hands, but they couldn't make the play. Why did it come so easily to you? And if you were a coach, how do you put a player in the proper position and train that player to take the ball away?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I come from the background where I was a, all-state wide receiver. I played a lot of special teams, kick return games. So it's hand-eye coordination, and it's all those things that you can work on and practice to where when the ball does come, you're kind of expecting it instead of being surprised by it. You have to go out there and know that taking over the ball and taking it away is one of those things that can change the outset of a game. So you stress the importance of that during practice and during training camp, and you still want to do those things, but those opportunities come few and in between, so you have to take advantage when you can. But I think it's a combination of pressuring quarterback. I think it's being able to see the ball and bring it in when you have a chance.
Well, let me ask you this, Nathan. How many defensive backs do you know, or maybe you did it in your regimen? I know you guys practice Oski and practice and all those type of things when you get a swipe, but for a DB to go down and get on the jugs machine for about 20 minutes after practice, just working on the hands like the receivers do.
Yeah, you have to do it. And I think that's something that you can do as a unit also. I think you have veteran guys back there. I would follow Jerry Azuma to the jugs machine, Mike Brown, Charles Tillman. All those guys found themselves around the ball, and it's for no, coincidence that, they expected to make big plays. And, the more you're around the ball and put yourself in those positions that, you can do something to change the game.
Hey, Vash, you got two quarterbacks in the Super Bowl this year. Which one are you going to line up at cornerback against, Brady or Ryan?
Oh, man. Both those guys are having unbelievable years. I mean, Matt Ryan is, MVP season. I mean, number one offense in the league. I mean, I don't know what else I can say. And then you got the other guy on the other side. Tom Brady, who can – you're not going to surprise him with anything, son. And he's been in this situation before. So, I'd still hate to see Tom Brady. In this one game, I hate to see him today.
So your old teammate with the Bears, Charles Tillman, is now a television star, clearly becoming an analyst of all analysts. You have gone in another direction. You've gone into the coaching aspect of things. Can you fill us in on where your career's headed from that standpoint?
Yeah, I have. And, it's been a great journey. It's been a thing where I can get in contact and network with a lot of different coaches. I'm coaching now at Lake Forest High School right here in the area, and I'm getting the opportunity to live out my dream of, working with kids and really trying to make a difference in my community. So I'm excited about doing that, but I was fortunate enough over the past couple of years to intern with the 49ers. I spent the summer there, and this past year, I saw you guys here with the Bears. So it's been an unbelievable time to see these coaches work, see it up close from a different angle, and see all the work that goes into, trying to build towards a championship team, and I just fell in love with it.
Vash, good luck with it in the future. Thank you, Vash, so much for joining us.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Former Bears cornerback Nathan Vasher spending a few minutes with us here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We'll recap and react to what we just heard next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Go off the field with Inside the Bears. Tune in weekly Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 and Sunday on Fox 32 Chicago at 10:35 p.m. for unique stories and interviews exclusively for Bears fans. And I'm told that this week on Inside the Bears, there's an exclusive look at the Bears coaching staff during their week at the Senior Bowl. Go behind the scenes at the Pro Bowl with Jordan Howard and Josh Sitton. Plus, Akeem Hicks bravely accepts the phone challenge. Inside the Bears airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app at any time. Tom Thayer is here. So's Jim Miller. I'm Zach Sabin. You're giving me that look.
I got a question for Jim.
Go ahead.
I've been asked got a question that Jim's breakdown of Jonathan Allen or Solomon Thomas, because we've seen the first mock drafts out there, Jim. Jonathan Allen's name is connected to a third pick in the draft. Do you know much about these two players yet? Have you had a chance to see them? They're not Senior Bowl participants. And, do you have any evaluation power for us?
Yeah, I think Allen is considered, and he may go one overall. I mean, when it's all said and done,
wow.
I think the scouts think that highly of him and his ability. Obviously, Myles Garrett is another guy that's considered a high draft pick, and it'll shake up. And I do think, again, this year there's going to be a lot of movement at the top of the draft. There's going to be some teams that are going to be willing to trade up and try and have an opportunity for those type of players. I doubt that they can swipe them away from a team like Cleveland. I mean, they need almost everything when you look at the Browns, so they shouldn't be trading down and playing money ball like they did a year ago. I still think that was a huge mistake by Cleveland. Here, they got a shot to take Carson Wentz, and they pass again. They passed on Ben Roethlisberger, and they passed now on Carson Wentz. And that's part of the reason why the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. And then for them to make a statement that they didn't have Carson Wentz in their top 20, maybe Jimmy Haslam may have to reevaluate that whole money ball strategy.
Right,
if you don't have a quarterback, you ain't going to win, and the Bears are going to be thinking about that too.
That's the one staple that you see year in, year out in the NFL, specifically the Super Bowl. If you don't have one of those special signal callers, you're not going to consistently get into the playoffs, and if you don't consistently get there, you're not going to have an opportunity to do what Tom Brady and Matt Ryan are doing this year. But the thing that stands out to me, because of all those deals that the Browns have made over the last few years to just acquire more and more draft picks, can't they go out now? And we know they need a quarterback. Wouldn't you, and this is what I would do if I'm them, if you know that Jimmy Garoppolo is available and you have a surplus of picks, would you not trade for Garoppolo?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Because you think they're going to find the quarterback of the future in this draft?
If Belichick is willing to trade Garoppolo, even in Tom Brady's 17th year, there's something within his game that he's not 100% in agreement with that can beat him. That can be the next leader of the New England Patriots. I said, I think just so. Sometimes you got to see through it. Maybe Jim has he could have a completely different opinion of it, but that's just the way I feel that he's being baited out there.
But Tom, you saw the guy a week of practice
this summer.
You
nothing.
Saw him in real games. It's not like one of these quarterbacks
he's playing on the New England Patriots with Bill Belichick. Now you put him on the Cleveland Browns with the Cleveland Browns.
I think if you put Jimmy Garoppolo in this year's draft, he would be the top quarterback taken. That's just my opinion. I think the Cal kid really helped himself when you look at Davis Webb at the Senior Bowl. But if you put Garoppolo in this year's draft, he would be the top quarterback available. So is he worth first-round consideration? Absolutely. I think a team will give him a first-round. You know, and maybe even it would take more than that.
First round plus. They're not going to trade for a first rounder. It's a first round plus the contract that you're going to have to give them.
Yeah, you bring up good points, and I think Cleveland has to address that. They have to address it in any way, shape, or form that they can. It didn't work for them last year. They went through four quarterbacks, and not to mention they can't protect the quarterback either. That's another issue that they're going to have to solve.
Jim, who would you rather have, Garoppolo or Carson Wentz?
I like Carson Wentz. I would have taken him second overall.
I agree.
If I was the Cleveland Browns.
I agree.
I think he's got a lot of upside to him. He's very sharp. He's tough. His rookie year, I mean, when did we see a rookie season like Dak Prescott and even Carson Wentz, these quarterbacks that were thrown into the fire, and how well they responded? And it's not like Philadelphia is a full roster. You know, they had issues on their offensive line as Lane Johnson, he got suspended. They were tight or light on their interior in terms of the guard spot in the center spot. But yet the kid, I thought he showed well. And there's a bright future for – not to mention the receivers. There's another team. Here they've got a rookie quarterback, and I mentioned that normally if you got a rookie quarterback, you've got veteran receivers. They didn't have that either. They traded for Dorial Green-Beckham. That receiving core was a mess.
And a rookie head coach.
Yeah, a mess. But I think they didn't blink. It's like when Mighty Casey steps to the plate and takes a swing, you got to keep swinging until you get that position right. I bring up Seattle all the time. Think about it. They traded for Charlie Whitehurst. Then they signed Matt Flynn. They gave these guys big deals now, and they still drafted Russell Wilson. First guy they tried, didn't work, get him out of here. This guy didn't work, get him out of here. Oh, Russell Wilson, let's draft him. Oh, we think we got something here. They found their guy,
I'm with you 100%
at that position.
That's why every single year it's egregious when you're an evaluator and you don't take a quarterback. Doesn't matter what round, because it's so difficult to clearly evaluate these guys. And NFL personnel have difficulty figuring out how to find the right quarterback. But if you draft one every single year, and it could be in a different round, it doesn't always have to be in the first round, it can be in the fifth round sometimes, but if you draft one every year, there's power in numbers. Eventually you're going to hit on one.
And even if you don't play him, you can use him as trade bait. Andy Reid's done it. Bill Belichick's done it repeatedly. I guarantee you, look at Jimmy Garoppolo. He is trade bait because they drafted Jacoby Brissett out of North Carolina State a year ago, who's going to be a good player. And now they're just floating Jimmy Garoppolo up. Who wants him? We know Tom Brady's not going anywhere, but we've groomed this kid for you, and he's ready to play, and there's now tape out there that kind of proves he can play as well.
The other thing that stands out about some of the quarterbacks that you mentioned, and you talked about Dak Prescott and the success that he had in Dallas and Russell Wilson right away in Seattle, but those two franchises, they set everything else up where if the quarterback didn't make mistakes, that team was going to succeed. So you can make an argument that if the Bears don't take that quarterback in the first round, you're still trying to build the infrastructure
in place. You better make sure the supporting cast is as quality as what the other teams you're talking about that had success from the young quarterbacks. And Jim mentioned that Philly's their success is not all set in stone. They still need building blocks. But, you know, Dallas, man, they had it offensively.
Tom, last year when I was down in Indianapolis for the scouting combine with Jim, we were hosting Bears All Access. And I don't know if you've seen Jim around draft time, but he's got this legal pad, this huge yellow legal pad, just filled to the gills, all with his thoughts and notes on every single player. What do you have? Do you have a mock draft right now, Jim, that's going to change dramatically once you see everybody in the scouting combine?
Yeah, well, I base it off the Senior Bowl because 95% of those players are going to get drafted. And I know this year's Senior Bowl didn't have a lot of sizzle, but, man, there's some good players coming out.
So what do you have right now, 1, 2, 3?
I would think, like how we said it earlier, those three guys, Myles Garrett, Jonathan Allen, Solomon Thomas, those guys are probably the top. But there's good players that, in my opinion, have thrust themselves into the first round already by the Senior Bowl and their performance. That's what I love about the Bears and that they coach that North squad because that whole secondary is talented. There's that Obi Melifonwu from Connecticut. Dude, that dude's a body rocker, and he's got Cam Chancellor written all over him. I would love to get a player like that. 6'4", he's versatile. Some teams are looking at him as a corner. Some are looking at him as a linebacker. They want to beef him up and play linebacker. I talked to him personally. He said, no, dude, I want to play safety. I want to be a free safety. And he was not afraid of contact.
He was an
in-the-box player and just rocking people. And no receiver wanted to block him down there.
There was one tackle in particular near the goal line that he was in space, and the running back had an opportunity to go inside or outside. And he held his ground, stayed in a good fundamental tackling position, and was able to make a tackle in space against a running back. Those are the little things that kind of impress you about a guy that's 6'4", his ability to break down and recover and cover a lot of ground.
And we talked about the tight ends too. I believe the Bears need to take a tight end. Obviously, we can talk about O.J. Howard. And I know the other kid I'm going to bring up at Arkansas had the bowl issues, but that Jeremy Sprinkle is the best inline tight end. If the Bears are going to have Jordan Howard and him be the feature back, you got to have that complimentary player like a Gronkowski to dominate at the line of scrimmage blocking, but yet still capable to get out in the pass game and have an impact there. And there were, to me, legit four good tight ends down at that Senior Bowl that the Bears got a firsthand look at, and there's another position that is missing sorely for the Chicago Bears that I think they'll address in this year's draft.
I love it when scouts text Tom Thayer live on the air to give him other names to talk about. But what is interesting to me, Jim, is that you brought up Myles Garrett, Jonathan Allen, Solomon Thomas as the top three in whatever order, we don't know yet. Do you believe that one of the quarterbacks that we continue to talk about in the first round, whether it's Trubisky, Kaiser, or Deshaun Watson, that one of these quarterbacks ends up going in the top three because someone may trade up to get that guy?
I just don't think so. I don't think they're going to climb like what Goff and what Carson Wentz did a year ago. I just don't believe that. I think starting out, I think Watson was considered a second-round player. I think he'll work himself into the first round, but I think those guys will go like what Freeman did for Tampa Bay or like what Joe Flacco did for Baltimore, that a team will trade up and maybe get them in the mid-teens, you know, like a 17 or 18 or a 16. That's where I see those guys. Granted, there's a lot of work to do, but this class, it's just not as good as previous classes. These guys are raw players that need a lot of work, would be my take.
I think Garoppolo is going to decide the fate of the rest of the quarterbacks that are coming out of college, because if he goes and takes one of those spots with Cleveland or something, it's going to completely change.
No, that's a good point. And I think you're right. That'll dictate where teams like anything else, I think it's the value. Can you get the right guy that you want and really read the other teams well in terms of trading down and still getting your guy? And that probably could be a quarterback if the Bears elect to do it. Think about what Denver did. I mean, they get their guy in Paxton Lynch, and think about how John Elway moved around the board to make sure they still got him in the first round, which nobody thought he was going to go in the first round.
man, the Bears are going to have all these new coaches on their staff next season. How is that going to impact what John Fox wants to do? We'll discuss next on Bears All Access with Thayer and Miller. I'm Zaidman on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. So Jim's down in Houston at the Super Bowl. Jim, quickly, I want a prediction. You better be right. What's happening on Sunday? I'm taking it to the bank.
Everybody thinks it's going to be over 60 points. I disagree because I think both teams want to shorten the game because obviously the offenses are so explosive. So I've got the running game, you know, to basically to shorten it, as I mentioned. And I think the Patriots can run between the tackles with LeGarrette Blount. I've got it a close one. I've got it high 20s, 28-27. And I'm going to give New England Patriots and Tom Brady wins his fifth Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm going to go 31-28 Atlanta Falcons.
Boom!
I think Matt Ryan at the line of scrimmage will make some really important decisions. I do think the running game is going to be a factor, but I think in terms of making proper decisions at the line of scrimmage, Matt Ryan is right up there with any quarterback this season.
I saw Dan Quinn with a much better defense lose to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, and that was a couple of years ago when he was the defensive coordinator in Seattle. Now, he does not have that kind of talent in Atlanta.
Just the volume of offense the Patriots can throw at those rookies. You know, you think of Keanu Neal, and you look at Deion Jones and Devondre Campbell.
With 2 weeks to prepare.
Yeah, and Grady Jarrett. I mean, he wants those guys to play fast. And with the volume of offense the Patriots can bring to the table, could have those guys thinking a little bit too much. I'm with you because I thought that was a much more formidable defensive line of the Seattle Seahawks in that Super Bowl.
Just don't have Matt Ryan change the cadence the first play of the game. Stick with the cadence and the play you have called, and that'll help you.
And if you're at the goal line,
run the ball. Crowd noise all week, right, Tom? Even right. If it's a neutral site.
Right.
And quickly now, there are a lot of changes on that coaching staff in terms of assistance this offseason. How does that impact a player going forward?
Well, I mean, you got to identify who the position coach is going to be because sometimes that can affect the decision of a free agent. But I think if you have the structure in place of the general manager, the head coach, and the coordinators, I think that's the key element to making sure that if you can get a free agent to sign here, it's going to be about who those three people are.
Great stuff, guys. For Jim Miller, enjoy the Super Bowl down there. And Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.